I was there on, I think it's November 16, 2005, when Australia qualified.
Yeah.
And as I keep saying, for 150 minutes, there was a wall of sound at the heart of that, calling the match. Quite famously, was our next guest, Craig Foster, and he's on the line. G'day, Craig.
Morning, guys.
Hey, look, there's been so much going on from a football point of view, so much going on from in your life. Let's get to the heart of it. How did the story, the issue, the incarceration of Hakeem first get on your radar that allowed you and encouraged you to take such an active part in it?
I think it might have been Pascavale, the club that reached out, or the PFA back then. I actually haven't gone back, really had a look, guys, but the PFA certainly got in touch at some point as a refugee ambassador for Amnesty and so on. It's obviously an issue that's close to my heart, and everyone knew that. And they just sent me some messages to say, look, this kid needs some help, and he's in pretty deep trouble. And when I looked at the political trouble that he was in particular, and the fact that no one was going to come to his aid from the AFC or elsewhere, we knew that he was in really, really serious trouble. So as an ex-player, I think a lot of others felt that we were obligated to help him.
Yeah, Craig, it's been remarkable what you and others, as you said, have been able to achieve. But why did this particular case resonate with the global football community?
I think a number of reasons, and probably the same reasons that I got involved, was one, that this is our game, and so therefore we feel a deep responsibility to help anyone within our sport. But this was a young man who was defenceless, who was innocent. Secondly, it's because he was a refugee, and I think there's many people in Australia and, of course, around the world who feel strongly about the plight of people who are vulnerable. And those of us who have a voice, like you two, you know, we sit in a position where we talk to the public, and we've got social media, and we have the trust of a lot of people. We have a responsibility to use that for good, not just sit on air, you know, and have fun and have a wonderful life. Thirdly, though, I think one reason is because of the football politics, and that's what really incensed me from day one. This kid was tortured. One of the royal family of Bahrain, who was either involved or at the very least did nothing as the president of the FA at that time, which is absolutely disgusting. He's now the AFC president, and this kid is incarcerated in Thailand. So it took about 2 seconds to realise that under the new human rights policy, everyone is supposed to step up here, all the football officials, and that is definitely not going to happen. Then you've got Infantino and all the money coming out of the Gulf. That's where all of his funding is coming from. So, you know, he's not doing anything until he's absolutely pushed over the line to do so, and that includes FIFA. So this young man was very much alone, and it was clear to us, or to me at least, that he was going to be collateral damage of the game. There was an election year as well, so Salmo's going for election, Infantino was going for election. The Australians involved in that, the FFA chairman was going for election, the Thai president of the Football Association was trying to become a vice president of FIFA. So you put that political context around him. He was incarcerated because of football politics, and football politics, in my personal view, was going to see him back in Bahrain and possibly dead. So it was former players who were independent, who are capable of cutting through all of the politics and speaking honestly, but really his only heart.
Yeah, extraordinary.
You've outlined there from FIFA's point of view, from the FFA's point of view. It's clear when you get into a subject like this that you're going to be treading on toes. Do you consider your own personal cost when looking at this, Craig?
Yeah, that's a good question, but well, you're aware of it, and I guess you consider it in the sense that there are significant risks involved. But, you know, there was a play, I'm 50 this year, right? And I've had a wonderful life, and I'm in a good position. You know, I do World Cups and I do all these things. And I said to my wife through it, look, this is a young man. We need to do our absolute maximum to try and save his life. And if that affects us in all of these other ways, whether that's public reputation, and many of us had that on the line, or whether that's financially, then we have to bear that. There was also some issues around Bahrain and security. You know, these are pretty horrible people. So once you get involved in this and start fighting against a torturous regime, you know that you can have some blowback from that. But, you know, it's a kid's life. Mm. You know, he's got a young wife here. I had met her, and there was just no pulling back. And whatever the consequences were, we were, you know, as a family, we were happy to wear those, or we were willing to wear them. And in the end, we're delighted that, you know, for everyone, that it's been a positive outcome.
Yeah, more strength to you, Craig. What about Hakeem? I've seen in recent days he's talking positively about his future. He wants to try and get into the A-League, etc. Yeah. But how was he when you first were able to contact him and speak to him? How was his mental frame of mind? How was he viewing his position?
Yeah, that first trip to Bangkok was really important on a number of levels. One was to meet him, and he was in a horrible state.
Yeah.
He was extremely thin. He was in his prison, tunic type thing. They'd all come out. You know, it was my first time in an Asian prison, if you like. It was a pretty harrowing experience. Amnesty Australia had organised the security aspects of the trip, and by the time I went, I was absolutely scared stiff because of the security issues that they'd outlined. We had exit routes north and south out of Thailand, you know, had the passport on the whole time. So when I went to meet him, I think I was more scared than him.
Gee.
The poor kid was looking at me and he was thinking, mate, you're the guy supposed to save me, right? And, you know, I was just saying, trying to impress on him the support that we had around the world for him, or that was just really starting to build at that time, and give him some confidence, give him some hope. He was just extremely concerned about his wife and mainly about going back to Bahrain. And he was just pleading and pleading and pleading, please don't let me go back. Please don't let me go back. I can't go back there. I'm going to die if I go back there. And I was just saying to him, look, I know that's the case. Here's a letter from your wife I showed him. Here's some examples of all of the social media that's occurring. Here's a couple of the petitions. It's unbelievable. And by the end, it's only 15 minutes, and then the buzzer goes and the next group of people come in, prisoners come in, and the next group of family members. And in 15 minutes, by the end, I felt as though he was in a much better position. He knew that football was, and Australia was getting on board, really fighting for him, and it was good. But then when I went outside and spoke to the media, I was surprised that I was breaking down, because ultimately it's just a 25-year-old kid who had a whole royal family and government, well, actually on both sides, trying to get him back to torture him. And it sort of struck home the position that he was in. But I think it certainly gave me and everyone else, which I communicated to them, more motivation. We just said at that point, well, whatever is necessary here, and that meant travelling wherever, whenever, and putting whatever at risk. We have to get this kid out. We have to try and save his life.
Speak about putting things at risk. Saw the euphoric scenes of Hakeem's arrival back into Australia at the airport, and the thing that struck me most was how gaunt you looked. Have you... It's clearly taken a toll.
But, you know, I'm perfectly fine. As we kept saying through it, it was very intense, 2.5 months, but and we didn't have much time to eat. That was simple. But, yeah, a lot of people have asked, thought I might be unwell. I'm not. It was just, we were just travelling and working and campaigning and social media all day long, and you just found that, you know, there was no time for meals. So that's fine. The main thing for him now, I think, is coming down from this, and we're really worried about him next week. And I think this Friday we'll all go down to Pasco Vale and we'll have a big big celebration for him. And there's some good plans around that. But look, I can't imagine what happens next week or week after. So for all of us, it was a very intense time. But, you know, we kept saying to everyone, listen, don't feel sorry for yourself. This kid's sleeping on a concrete floor. He's in there with, violent criminals or, whatever they've done. And you've got to work 24 hours a day until we get him out.
Craig, this issue, I think, has made a lot of people sit up and take notice of you in particular, and how you were able to network the global football community to help your cause. And a lot of people in Australian football would love to see you, I think, involved with FFA in a high position. Will you reconsider potentially your position with FFA?
Yeah, look, I'm always happy to help the game, as everyone knows in our game. I'll do whatever it's necessary to try and help Australian football. I always have, and it will until I'm incapable of doing so. The problem that we have in the game at the moment, and I think in the next couple of months or more, I'll talk about it more, but look, the problem is the system itself. The problem is that the politics are deeply entrenched. I saw, the nice thing was I was able to see it personally during the recent election, and that gave me a real insight into how the system itself needs to change.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's riven by politics. It's riven by self-interest, our game. I think in many ways we've gone backwards. And it's the system itself needs to change. Now, people need to understand that I can change that. Okay, but I cannot just go in as one person and try and work within what is the current scenario. It's not going to work. All it's going to do is it's not going to help the game. It's certainly not going to help. It's not going to allow me to make the changes that are necessary. We need fundamental cultural and we need fundamental structural change. I'm happy to make it, but the football community is going to have to make the decision that it's time for that to occur.
In your mind, what should happen with the role of the Australian women's coach?
Well, the first thing you need is a thorough review. And now I haven't really been across it.
Right.
I've had my head completely out of it. But
right.
What I have seen, it broke just before I left, just before I sort of really started working for Hakeem's case. It's very, very simple. You need a thorough, independent, external review into all of the conduct included, and that includes the board. Why is that? Is because I understand that people are talking about senior management, and that certainly needs a review. But actually, the board's conduct throughout this process has been, in many ways, in my view, reprehensible. And they need to have the confidence of all of the football community that they're working ethically, that they're working appropriately, that no directors' responsibilities have been breached. I'm quite sure some of them have. So you need a thorough independent review from the top. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you'll make a couple of management scapegoats and all of a sudden people will move on. That's not good enough. So I'll be interested in the next few weeks whether that occurs. I think there'll be some reticence to do that. If the board is then able to just put in an internal review or even external, just senior management, I don't think it goes anywhere near close enough because that's one of the problems here. We're talking about the governance of the game. This is what I saw in Asia and this is what I saw with FIFA.
Yes.
It's the governance, actually, that is the main part of the problem, and we need a review into that now.
Well, Craig, what you were able to do for the young man, Hakeem, when you're dealing with Thai governments, Bahrainian regimes, and bring the football world together, to the fact that quite incredibly, you even had Robbie Slater endorsing you for your position on the FFA. Incredible.
No, Robbie and I have made up. We're all getting older.
Exactly.
through that time, all of it, Arnie and Graham, Arnie and Robbie and Ange and everyone, we've all had some great discussions. We're getting older now. It's time to move on.
Yep.
And we all want to help the game. We all want to turn the game around. And it's going to take that. It's going to take all of us, all of the former players, all of those legends working together now to actually get our game where we need it, because we need fundamental change.
Congratulations on what you've been able to achieve.
Always.
And I don't mean at all from a football point of view, from a human rights point of view. And great to have you on the program today, Craig.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Thanks so
Craig
much,
Foster,
Craig.
Former Socceroo, with some very strong words on what he thinks is happening at the FFA.
He's forthright and honest in his opinions. A quick tweet that came out. I want to run this past you, Jim, not to distract from Hakeem's moment of freedom here, but just want to note that Craig Foster, the guy deemed too divisive for the FFA chair, has united millions across the global football community and harnessed a political power to ultimately save a footballer's life. It says it all, doesn't it? This is a man who knows Australian football backwards, and just from those comments at the end of that interview, gee, he wouldn't be misplaced running football in Australia, would he?
Maybe there was a greater calling than just be a person on the FFA board.
But in that last bit of the interview, you could hear the passion. He wants to get involved and help Australian football, doesn't he?